Thanks for joining me. Thanks for praying with me. Let's pray right now, okay? I want to pray for you. And this is such a grace-filled opportunity when so many people from around the country and literally around the world join us in prayer. It's you, it's me, and it's I can't tell you how many other countless souls. We're all praying for one another. There's a tremendous power. And it was great to hear that guy, Daryl, who just called from Massachusetts. It makes me think of you know how you do become lifelong friends, you know, when you travel together, when you spend your time together. When I go on pilgrimage quite often, I've made lifelong friends as a result of it. You know, you pray, you play together. And the same thing here in this chaplet. I know so often if I travel to another city and people say, oh, I pray the chaplet with you. We have a connection, don't we? I mean, we feel that unity, that bond that prayer brings. And I think it's beautiful. And I think God really honors our united prayer together. If you want information on the pilgrimage, I think you can go to relevantradio.com/Italy. I think that's it. I don't know whether they have the information up or where we're going. I think there is a brochure there. But check that out. And let's pray right now. The number to get in is 888-914-9149. And the lines fill up pretty quickly. Maggie's praying with me today. Maggie, let me kick it off with you first. Anything you want to pray for or lift up before we start?
Yes, please, Drew. I want to pray continued prayers for successful knee replacement for my dad. He's having a surgery tomorrow. And also for a special intention for Dominica and her family.
Okay, we'll lift that up. This person says, hi, Drew, Maggie. Thanks for praying with us every day. My family and I really appreciate it. I have so many prayer requests. It's hard to choose just one or two. I want to tell you, your station has blessed me and my family in learning about our faith. And would you just please play for me, Toby? Toby, you got it. We will lift up all of your attachments. That's the thing. I mean, we can voice them. I know God knows what's in our heart, right? He knows what's in our heart. You know, in that apparition site, which is under church investigation, we'll see one day if it ever receives formal church approval. One of the messages that always resonated with me from the Virgin Mary who appeared there was the secret to prayer. It's something I really put into practice, and I think it unlocks miracles. Not just fasting and sacrifice, that's one of the key messages of this particular apparition, but it's this call to pray from your heart. That's really where the power is. It's not mindless repetition. It's not empty prayer, but it's the groaning of the spirit. It's the cry of the soul. It's opening your heart to God and truly telling him your needs. He knows them all, but he really wants you to pray deep from within your heart. And if you can do that, I mean, how do you pray from the heart, right? I didn't know. I was in my early 20s when I discovered this message. I didn't know how to. My prayer to God was, teach me how to pray from my heart. That was my prayer. Please, I don't know how to do it. Teach me truly how to pray. And I've shared the story before. I'll keep it short because I want to get into the chaplet. But I remember one time, this was my prayer. And I must have been praying it for 9 months straight. Lord, please teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. I want to know how to pray from the heart. I was shooting a documentary down in South America. I was there on the the mountainsides of Caracas. And I remember I was having this problem doing this interview with this mystic. And we had tape issues. We had battery issues. We had all these technical problems. So I said, can I go into your chapel and pray? And she was so respected by the local episcopate, she was allowed to have the Eucharist there. So I went in, I knelt down, and I just poured my heart out to God. You know, we spent all this money to be down here. We had to get this stuff done. And it was our last day on location. And I was starting to get a little stressed. And, when I came back out and sat down, this mystic who could read souls, she knew everything about my girlfriend at the time, and she knew things about my family, and, you know, she prophesied the future children I had. I mean, she was just off the chart. She was like a Padre Pio. She looked at me, and she says, Drew, your prayers, they're like sweet notes of music lifted up before the throne of God. And she didn't know, or at least I don't think she knew, that my prayer to God was, teach me how to pray. And I thought that was such a beautiful description of prayer because that's really what it is. It's like your prayer is a sweet song, a melody before the throne of God. And as you pray from the heart, those notes reach the ear of God. And I was so profoundly touched by that. So let's pray. I want to pray for you now. I want to pray from my heart. I invite you to do the same thing. Ask God to teach you how to do that. But pour out your soul to God and watch. You're going to see miracles unfold. I've seen more miracles than I think. I don't know. I'm humbled by God showing me the fruit of prayer. I really am. It's such an honor to be able to pray and to see the fruit of it. Prayer works. I tell you that all the time, and I want you to believe it. I want you to depend on it. I want you to rely on it. I want you to pray. I want to pray for this mother, too. One quick intention here before we kick it off. She says, Drew, I have an issue I've been living with for a long time, so long I can't remember what my life was like before it all happened. My son, who was only 19, made a foolish mistake, and he's been brought up with very serious charges that could ruin his life. His court date, for some reason, keeps getting pushed back. Something that is a relief at the time, but it also just prolongs the waiting period and the anxiety and not knowing what his future will bring. As I've done before, I am writing to you before his upcoming court date, which is tomorrow. God's my only recourse. All I can do is beg him that there will be a miracle in his case. I really need your prayers and the prayers of the relevant radio family. He's been trying so hard to turn his life around. And my heart goes out to this parent. You know, I just can't imagine being on the other end of that, and I can truly understand her pain. So let's pray for her right now, okay? Let's pray for her. Also, pray for the soul of a 23-year-old parishioner named EJ who was killed in a weather-related event in California. Somebody else writing that. It must have been the flooding that just took place. But we'll turn to God now. I'll take your prayers, your intentions, and we'll pray for one another as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
I just want to invite my non-Catholic listeners. I know there's some people, I just got this sense in the spirit that there's people, some individuals, you may have just turned on your radio and you're listening, you're saying, what is this, right? This is a prayer just invoking the mercy of God. And I invite you, whether you're Catholic or not, to join us in this prayer as we unite together. And let's go to our first call today. Mary is listening to us in River Grove, Illinois. Mary, thanks for dialing in. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you. I'm a new listener on the tablets.
Right.
I'm dealing with severe fear and anxiety, and I'm asking, my prayer intention is for spiritual and physical healing, to get out of this darkness and to feel the love of my God and to feel the Holy Spirit working in me. I just feel in such darkness, and I'm turning to you for prayer.
Well, I am so happy you found us, and I am so happy that you are joining us for prayer. And I just want you to be at peace, okay? St. Faustina wrote in her diary that the more soul trusts, the more it receives, Mary. So don't let the stresses of the day or your condition, whatever it is that's threatening you right now, that's robbing you of your hope and filling you with anxiety, don't let that be victorious. God's generous. He doesn't deny his grace to anyone who calls out for it. And I know that he is going to he's going to fill you with the graces that you need. I often think of, you know, a beautiful quote that St. Faustina said. She says that you know, I know well, the greater, the more beautiful the work is, the more terrible the storm is that rages against me. And if you're going through a difficult time now, God has something great for you in store. St. Catherine of Siena said, nothing great is ever achieved without enduring much. So make it meritorious. Offer it up. Know that God is with you, that you have nothing to fear. Put your trust in the Lord, no matter how difficult your circumstances. And God will, he'll prevail. I'm telling you, he will prevail. Lord, I just give you this woman right now, and overcome by her fear and overcome by her anxiety. And I just ask that you enlighten her, that you remove this veil of darkness, and you just flood her mind and her heart with light. And I pray this for anyone right now that's struggling. You know, if Mother Teresa, she said, if pain and suffering have come into your life, you know, she says, remember, this is just, if you have sorrow, if you have suffering, she says, this is just the kiss of Jesus. It's a sign he's calling you to come closer to him so he can kiss you. You know, it's such simplicity, right? That's such simplicity, but there's really a lot of truth in that. Draw close to the Lord, all right? Draw close to him now. Put your trust in him. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. We pray, eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Tom, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Drew. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. Okay. Well, not really. Now, my health has been kind of going downhill, and tomorrow I'm due to have a cataract eye surgery. And we just got a puppy, and every half an hour or so, you have to take the puppy out no matter what you're doing. I'm 81 years old, and I'm not used to that. So, you know, I just trust in God on this one, you know, because I have to have the surgery for my job. And
well, Tom, let's pray for you. First of all, puppies are probably, they're tougher than kids. They have so much energy, but I know that puppy's going to give you a lot of joy in your life. And 81 years of age, Lord, I just, I give you this man's eyes. We've been praying for vision a lot lately. I pray for his surgery tomorrow, those with cataracts, those who have glaucoma, those who have macular degeneration, those who have any problem with the eye, Lord, diminishing vision. I just ask, dryness of the eye, I just ask right now, Lord, that you touch the eyes, you preserve, you protect, you restore. I pray for Tom. I pray for our elderly. He says he needs it for his job. So I just ask you, give him the vigor that he needs. And Lord, you embrace this man and allow him to be another answer to prayer. I pray for anyone right now that is struggling with the maladies of life, who feel overwhelmed by their circumstances, who don't feel they have the energy that they need to accomplish the mission that has been set before them. And Lord, I just ask you, fortify them as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Giovanna in Albuquerque, let me go to Maggie in Chicago. Maggie, behind the mic. What can we pray for?
We've got a lot of requests coming in. Drew Vernett wrote to us and said, Drew and Maggie, asking for prayers during the Divine Mercy Hour for my sister who underwent surgery for melanoma, and that she will receive biopsy results that are negative for cancer this week. She's carrying a heavy load after just losing her husband from brain cancer last week. Oh. Sylvia wrote to us and said, please pray for my granddaughter, Julia. She's developing a crippling germ phobia.
Oof.
I pray the chaplet with you daily, and I'm praying for all those who suffer with severe anxiety. We had an off-air caller say, I'm struggling with work in California. My wife is pregnant and will not be working, so I want to be able to bring home income to provide for my family. Bill, similarly, is asking for a financial miracle. An anonymous writer says, can you please pray for Gwen from Illinois for a kidney donor during today's chaplet?
Yes, we will.
Friends are praying for her. Thank you. God bless. And these last two just brought warmth to my heart, Drew. Stephanie says, praying for peace and harmony within my home, grace to persevere in faith and grow in virtue. And Lisa Marie is praying for my family, your family,
right,
and
you,
for
Lisa.
Children great. Of every nation.
Yeah. Way to go. Thank you for your prayers. We value them. We appreciate them. Lord, I pray for this kidney that is needed too, these vital organs so often. This is one of those weird prayers that we often offer, and it gets answered. That and whoever thinks about kidnapped or missing people being restored, that's another one of those that always seem to get answered. So, Lord, I just lift up these intentions, and I just ask you, hear everyone who's written to Maggie and to me, and everyone who's called, everyone who's united to us right now for those particular prayers as well. Let's get Giovanna in here as well. She is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Giovanna.
Hello, Drew.
Hey.
So today I have two intentions. I've been praying for them in adoration, but I just need the Divine Mercy Chaplet army behind me to pray for my friend Kim, who lost her daughter a couple months ago, and she's going through so much anxiety and suicidal thoughts, and just want everybody to pray for her that God touches her and gives her healing in her mourning. And then I have another intention for my cousin who lost her baby 2 years ago at 36 weeks in utero. Wow. And she's still suffering from all of those traumas of losing the baby. And she goes to alcohol. And I just want the prayer army to stand behind me and ask for lots of divine mercy prayers.
I love it. I love the way you put it, because it really is an army of prayer warriors, isn't it? Army is so militant, I like to call us a family, but you're right. There is an army of prayer warriors right now saying, Lord, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. And you know, this theme of anxiety, depression, and being overcome by your circumstances seems to be coming up again and again. St. Francis de Sales, I actually went to that great school. You know, he was the gentleman saint. It was taught by nuns. And I remember them saying, once he said that anxiety is the greatest evil that can befall a soul except sin. This is because he says, God commands you to pray. He forbids you to worry. And Faustina re-echoed that many times. She says, you shouldn't worry about your adversities because the world is not as powerful as it seems. Those situations are not as powerful as they seem. God is infinitely more powerful. And Lord, I know we can be overwhelmed by our circumstances. First and foremost, give us peace and give us clarity of vision. Give us conviction of heart and fortitude to carry our cross. I do ask for these miracles that are being asked for right now. And I ask that this hour be a time of unbelievable answered prayer. And I thank you as we join together with so many across this country and around the world. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Central Kentucky next. Brian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, brother. How are you? How can we pray for you?
I'd like to... my prayer intentions for a 3-year-old Jasmine. They just gave her like 9 to 12 months to live. She has some kind of rare brainstem cancer.
Oh, I love it. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, Brian, thank you. first of all, for calling in and interceding. I want to pray for you, for all your intentions, for your family, and for all your needs. But Lord, we give you beautiful little three-year-old Jasmine. It breaks my heart when I think about the suffering of a child like that. And the just the, oh, the wounds, the sadness that must overcome the family, the mother, the father, the family members. I bring you this child. You said, bring the children unto me. And I just ask that you embrace this child. And again, for the greater glory of God, to re-echo the promises and the power of the prayer of this chaplet and your great sacrifice, I give you baby Jasmine right now, Lord. And I just ask you to heal. And I stand on that scripture, Mark 9:23, where in the scripture it says, anything is possible for those who believe, right? So Lord, I'm believing right now for miracles. Miracles for Jasmine, miracles for all those who pray for us. Maggie was just saying to me, call upon those patron saints of the impossible, St. Rita, St. Philomena, St. Jude. Call upon all you saints. And I call upon St. Faustina and Father Seraphim and those great divine mercy saints. Blessed Sopochko, as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can sneak an extra call or two in our final decade here. Pepper is praying in Evansville, Indiana. Hi, Pepper.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm asking that these prayer faithfuls pray for my brother, Matt, who's fighting for his life on a ventilator in the hospital, that the doctors are able to identify what's wrong with his lungs, the pneumonia or whatever it is, and remedy it. And then the surgeon is successful in working on his aortic valve and that his liver regenerates itself, which means it has to be an act of God that makes this all come to fruition, and nothing is too big for God.
Amen, Pepper. Amen, amen. I'm with you. We're going to pray now for your brother. I want to pray for you. I love your faith. Faith moves mountains, right? Trust brings about the impossible. Prayer from the heart reaches God. Lord, I give you Pepper. I give you her brother. I give you those in the ICU, the NICUs, the PICUs, those in critical care right now, those who absolutely need a miracle. The diagnosis or prognosis from the doctors may have been grim. And with you, I know all things are possible. You know, he who trusts in you, Lord, is never lost. So I just, I bring you this intention. I ask you again today for healing. Embrace this soul. We'll go to Long Island, New York next. Herman is praying with us there. Good afternoon, Herman.
Good afternoon, Drew and Maggie. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Today I am asking for prayers for our 8-month-old granddaughter, Noelle. She will be going on the undergoing spinal surgery.
Wow.
To correct a tethered spine that she was born with. She was diagnosed at birth and could lead to complications if not taken care of.
Yeah.
So we're praying that Thursday morning when she goes in for surgery, that the surgeons will, that God will guide the surgeon's hands and for a miracle that all goes well.
Amen to that. Well, we'll pray for her right now, Herman, your little beautiful granddaughter, 8 months old. But again, I give you these children, and I ask that you heal, you embrace, and you show your mercy to them. Be the hands of the surgeon, so that this child may be restored to complete health. And Lord, I give you Maria and Grace, Virginia and Edward, and Lala and Mary and Mike and everyone else that's on hold, everyone who's written, and everyone now united in prayer. I ask you, read our hearts, our deepest intentions, and in your mercy, Lord, you you hear us, and you allow us to see the fruit of this prayer as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Philomena,
pray for us.
St. Rita,
pray for us.
St. Jude,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, thank you for praying. If you didn't get through today, call me tomorrow. We'll do our best to get you back on the air. And do me one final thing, if you could do this. Let's pray for each other. Okay, I mean, we pray every day this hour, so if you're new, set your phone, set your watch, you know, set your calendar, however you want to keep time. But every day at this time, we always pray, and I'm telling you what, extraordinary things are happening. Oh, send me your answered prayers, all right? I love seeing them, and we get them every day. Tell me how the organ transplant was no longer needed, or how the surgery was successful, or how the missing person was returned. You can email me, drew@relevantradio.com. That's the show email, drew@relevantradio.com. In the byline, put answered prayer or praise report or however you want to call it so I see it and tell me how God answered your prayer. How's mercy prevailed? All right. Sometimes prayers are instant. Sometimes they take a little bit of time. Don't forget. All right. Be patient and wait on God. Here's a question for you, and I'll look at it on the other side. Why aren't young Catholics marrying? That's a pretty fair question, right? Why aren't young Catholics married? I want to dive into that. And if you have somebody with anxiety, PTSD, if they're struggling with some sort of abuse, there's a new movement out right now with psychedelics, psilocybin. We're talking about ecstasy, LSD, lots of ayahuasca, lots of drugs being used. I just watched a series on it. I want to look at whether or not this is a new frontier for mental health. That's coming up a little bit later. We'll also speak to a man who's involved in a deliverance ministry about sometimes using the danger of drugs and whether or not they can be a portal to the demonic. That and more, all straight ahead.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
Did you know that in the United States there are a growing number of Catholics, but a decrease in the number of Catholic marriages? This is a crucial missionary moment for the Church.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
For joining me. Such a delight to be able to pray with you every afternoon. I want to pray for those of you too trying to, find that future spouse. I've been tracking a lot of these numbers recently, and you know, we see marriage, it's been redefined in the country, and as a result of that, I think we've really lost our understanding of the sacramentality, the power that comes in marriage. And I know Satan hates marriage. You know, if you have a good holy marriage, Satan is not a fan of it. And he's going to work any way he can right now to divide the marriage that you do have. You know, the final confrontation is going to be over, you know, marriage and family. I really do believe that. We see the byproduct of that is this attack on life. And we all, look, you know this, right? The institution of marriage is under assault. For years, divorce rates have been extraordinarily high. About half of marriages ending in divorce is just a ballpark figure. But one out of two marriages, that's terrible odds, right? Those numbers are down. And the main reason they're down is because the number of people getting married is down, right? You think, is divorce rate coming down? Less people are getting married. Right now, only 45% of Americans are married. I was stunned when I saw that stat. I was just blown away by that. 45% of Americans are married. That's down from 50% just 5 years ago, 7 years ago. As Catholics, you know, you and I, we should be extolling the sacrament of marriage. We should definitely be doing that. But we're not doing much better. Catholics divorce at the same rate, right? According to the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate, back in 1969, there were more than something like 426,000 Catholic weddings. Fast forward to 2020, right? You go from 426,000 down to 97,000. That is a precipitous drop, 77% to be exact. And that's in what? A little more than 50 years? And keep in mind that the Catholic population is also increasing. So the question is, why? And I want to look at this. Why is there such a huge drop in something as age old as marriage? It's never been like this before. And I don't think this has really been that thoroughly researched. There's the general culture that we live in. You know, you got to deal with that. We've got parental divorce. You know, we've got pornography. We got a whole litany of things that are really impacting marriage. It was interesting. You know, I was looking at this survey from the Institute of Family Studies showing that higher income young people, they're getting married more than lower income people. But young, you know, younger people are putting off marriage. We're seeing this later and later. So we got cultural issues. We got lots of different issues. Rachel Hoover has been researching this from her home in Nashville. She recently wrote a piece for Catholic World Report, and it grabbed my attention. It was, why aren't young Catholics marrying? And I thought, well, let's talk about it. And maybe you're in the situation right now. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 888-914-9149. You can share your view. You can sound off with your frustration. Feel free to pull up a chair. She right now is working on a follow-up piece on this piece that she just wrote on proposed solutions to this problem, why young Catholics are not getting married. Rachel, it's good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, fill me in. Well, first of all, what motivated you to conduct a survey and to write this particular piece? And what was your big surprise? What did you take away from it all?
Good question. Yeah. So I started off asking people about this topic in large part because I'm living through it myself. I'm 27. I've been interested in getting married for a long time. I think as a little girl, that was always a dream of mine, but it just turned out to be a little bit more difficult than I expected. Even as a Catholic who believes that marriage is really important and that it's a sacrament, that it's holy, it's just hard to go out there and find someone else who shares our beliefs and then get through just countless different obstacles that have come up in our culture today, both from the secular sort of outside world and then even within the church itself, unfortunately.
I read your piece just before the broadcast here. I went through it again. And you believe the current position of the Catholic Church in the U.S. is a hindrance to marriage. I was struck by that. Why is that? Share that.
I'm so sorry. I think I missed one word at the beginning. Could you say that again?
I said, you make the case in your piece that you believe that the current position of the Catholic Church here in the U.S. at least is a hindrance to marriage. How'd you make that assertion? How'd you come up with that? Why do you believe that?
So it's not that church teaching on marriage is a hindrance to marriage. That's a very good and holy thing. But we do have this situation today where the church is very divided, or I should say people within the church are very divided. There are Catholics who are simply not well-formed in their faith. They're not quite sure, you know, why marriage is important. They may never have really thought about things like sexual morality, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then we have people who are in these different camps within Catholicism. They might consider themselves very traditional Catholics or sort of middle of the road. Everyone has a lot of different opinions on things like the liturgy, but also things like homeschooling and gender roles and just how you should live day-to-day life. So even within the constraints of Catholic doctrine, so to speak, there's a lot of division within the church. And everyone is looking for a spouse who shares their opinions and kind of sits within the same flavor of Catholicism or the same camp inside the Catholic Church. And as those camps keep on dividing and getting smaller and smaller, this can be a huge hindrance just to finding someone to marry.
Yeah, I think it's a valid point. I do. I think it's pretty interesting. You went through a whole litany of these things in your particular article. You know, I think we have other challenges too, and I want to take a few calls for you. I mean, in 2014, the USCCB, they did this study that you highlighted that talked about how 79% of Catholic parents were married, and the majority of Catholic children were growing up in households with two married Catholic parents. Divorce affects a child's outlook, I think, on relationships and on marriage. How's the divorce culture affecting marriage today? Do you think that's, people are saying, look, I don't need it, I'd rather just cohabitate, because I know cohabitation rates are up. What role is divorce playing, and what's the rate of success for those who come from marriage, from parents who stayed married?
Yes. So it's definitely well known at this point. I think in the last few years, we've seen a lot of research coming out showing that if your parents were divorced, that has a huge impact on your view of marriage and your idea of how to resolve conflict within marriage or whether to resolve it versus just giving up. And if you've seen divorce up close like that, you're more likely to think of it as an option for yourself, or you're more likely to just choose not to marry at all because you've seen the pain and suffering that comes from divorce. And as you mentioned at the beginning, there are so many marriages that do end in divorce. I think a lot of younger people are seeing that and have been sort of giving up on the idea of marriage. Rather than go through a divorce, they would rather just not have the marriage to begin with.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a few calls if you want to join us. The number here is 888-914-9149. Feel free to get in. Maggie, who's up first? Is it Patty or Jose? Who's in there? Patty? Patty in St. Paul, Minnesota. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Mariani. Thank you for having me, and thank you for this beautiful topic that you're doing. I believe that marriage is under attack. It's one of the foundations of who we are as a society and who we are as people of God. It's very interesting you talk about this. I just finished a wonderful book by Father Robert Altier called An Exploration of Holy Matrimony from Genesis to the Wedding Feast of the Lamb, and it's called God's Plan for Marriage by Father Robert Altier. In this book, I really understood what he was saying about the importance of marriage, you know, as far as it goes, that a lot of our people in our society have been poorly catechized. There is no spiritual formation in the young people. They see cohabitation as a, you know, a regular practice in our society. They don't see it as very as a sin. And they don't see the dignity of marriage. They don't see that God gives graces to people who are in a marriage.
That's a good point.
A marriage is an outward sign. It's a sacrament. It's an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. And that's what marriage is about. So every time you say, I love you to your husband or I love you to your wife, what you're really saying is, I want to get you to heaven. And when you do not have Jesus and you do not have Christ-centered in your soul and in your marriage, because it really takes three people to get married, you know. And when I got married, I always, the very first thing I thought to myself was this:
I'm going to marry a man who loves Jesus more than he loves me, because then I know I'll be treated properly.
You know, love that.
And
that's right.
That's just how I say it. But a lot of people forget that marriage is a way for us to become saints.
Yeah.
It's a way for us to raise ourselves up as a gift to God.
Yeah, Patty, you're so right. You know what? It's a vocation. It really is. And we have to look at like that.
It's
it's the grace in that sacrament between the husband and the wife. You know, that'll, you know, you should achieve great sanctity and ultimately eternity as a result of it. The book that was written by Father Altier, I remember the book very much. Father Altier was with me, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago he was on the air with us, and he used to be a regular on the air with me for a while. I actually endorsed his book. I think that is one of the best books that there is on marriage. If you are discerning marriage,
I agree.
Or if you're having trouble in your marriage, I mean, this is a book not just for somebody who's not been married. This is a book for all married couples. I thought some of the insights that he had there, and he actually said that when he went to write that book, that the Holy Spirit inspired him, it was Our Lady or the Holy Spirit. He said, because I'm a priest, why am I writing a book on marriage? He was given this divine, he believes, inspiration. And he sat down and the words just flew. They flowed from him. And when I read through the different chapters of that book, I was like, wow, everybody should read this. Give the title of the book again. I'm up against the clock, so I'll just take a short break. But why don't you give him a quick plug?
Yep, it's called God's Plan for Marriage, and I recommend it to everybody. It's a book for all vocations, every vocation.
God's Plan for Marriage. That's God's Plan for Marriage. I think it was published by Sophia Institute Press. Am I correct on that, Patty? Do you have the book near you? I don't know if you do.
Yep, actually, I just finished it. You know, it's a great book. I mean, this is...
I got to leave it right there, Patty. Thank you, though. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. When we come back, our conversation will continue. Rachel Hoover is my guest. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. We're talking about marriage and why younger Catholics aren't marrying. Stay with me. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I am super excited about that upcoming pilgrimage. I'd love to travel with you if you can squeeze it into your busy schedule. It is in September, so you got plenty of time to plan, plenty of time to save, plenty of time to get some friends and family to go with you. I'm sure this trip will probably close out pretty quickly. I know that they had a waiting list for the one to Israel, and that was last year. So grateful for Relevant allowing me to go, but we're going to have a great time. Italy is one of my favorite places, and we're going to see Eucharistic miracles. We'll see some of the great sites like the Colosseum and the Catacombs and Sistine Chapel and so many other fun stuff. So we'll talk more about it coming up, but check it out. I think it's relevantradio.com/Italy. But you know, there you'll find a telephone number. Call them. They'll tell you where we're going, what we're doing. You can get all the details. There's, I think, even a brochure there, maybe. So check it out, relevantradio.com/Italy. My guest today is a woman named Rachel Hoover. She wrote a piece, and Maggie, maybe we can link over to it. It's called Why Aren't Young Catholics Marrying? I've got 5 kids, right? My kids now range, my oldest, I think, is 30. He's married. But my other 4 aren't. I've got 3 sons and 2 daughters, right? Beautiful young girls. And I looked at my nieces and nephews who didn't get married into their 30s. And I look at the average age of this generation. They're marrying, you know, the average age of marriage is around 30. For guys, I think it's even a little bit later. But the average age is 30. It's pretty crazy. You know, I don't know, when you were married, young 20s, you know, late 20s, I don't know. And I know it's different for everybody. Maggie is, won't give away your age, but she's over 30. It's fair to say. She's getting married now. Maggie, before I go back to the conversation, I'm curious, if you don't mind, it's not that you didn't want to get married. What was it? You didn't find the right guy. You had a certain standard. You were in a bad relationship. What's the deal?
Maybe a little bit of all of those things. But I would say, you know, when you're dating and you're trying to be selective and have your standards set a certain way that's so countercultural, you know, you're walking around thinking, oh, I would like to date so that I find someone that I can enjoy a lifelong sacrament with someone. Yep. There's a lot of other people running around in the world that are going, yeah, I just, she was hot, yeah, you know, or like whatever, you know,
looks fade.
Right. Yeah. So there, it's like there, the expectation that you have for this relationship is just not what other people are putting in the work for.
Do you, and your parents are not divorced, right?
No, they've been together and for 48
really
years.
In love?
40, yeah.
Yeah. See, my parents were always deeply in love. My father worshiped my mother and vice versa. And I hope my kids, when they see me, you know, and my wife, Kathy, that they say, wow, my parents really loved one another, you know, and I think that has a big impact. Rachel, let me bring you back into the conversation here because, you know, we talk about unhappy marriages, divorce, and how that impacts marriage. Well, I know some couples that stay together, even though they're miserable because they don't want to get divorced for their kids' sake. And then, you know, once the kids leave the house and they end up getting divorced. What does a couple that stays together that is miserable do to the future prospects of marriage for their children versus a couple that's deeply in love?
It's a great question. So from the research that I've been able to do, a lot of young Catholics are kind of in that position where they at least perceived that their parents were not happy together, even if they didn't actually get divorced. And this does seem to have a huge impact on their own fears about marriage. Maybe they just think of marriage as sort of nothing but the sacrifice and hardship that we hear about and the cross. And they haven't had a good example of how it can also be joyful and fulfilling. So I think parents working on their own relationship and showing their joy and happiness to their children is a really good way to help them marry themselves.
Well said. Let's grab some calls because time is my enemy here always. But Maggie, you said you've been monitoring Twitter. What just came in? We'll share that very quickly.
Well, I asked the Twitter sphere, why aren't young Catholics getting married? And Ed responded and said, I'm 66 and never married, not because I didn't want to, but because God didn't want me to. If our church is sincere in wanting kids to grow up Catholic and to marry Catholic, it needs to find new ways of how we can meet because the old ways don't work. That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder what old ways he's referring to.
Certainly not Instagram.
Right? Yeah.
It's not Facebook. It's not some of the dating apps. I mean, who knows? I think of God. If this is your vocation, your paths will cross. You know, and you have to pray that God puts the right person into your life and that you have the vision to see that. Because quite often, I think sometimes, as you point out, Maggie, we have these false expectations. You want to marry for hot or you want to marry for whatever reason. You know, you really, this is a beautiful vocation in which you can achieve the heights of sanctity if that is your call. Matt in Clayton, North Carolina, thanks for waiting. You are on the air with Rachel Hoover.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Rachel. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome. I'll keep this short. I know you, because of time, but I think one reason Catholics, less and less of them are getting married, and speaking from personal experience, is because, you know, dating is frustrating. It can be fun, but it's also frustrating at the same time because you go out with someone, you get to talk to them, you get to know them, then you find out something that could hinder a future with them based on, you know, their beliefs in the church, what they believe or don't believe, and then you realize that can cause problems down the road, and you say, you know what, this isn't going to work, I'm sorry, and then you move on, and right. And such, and you can do that over and over, and it just gets frustrating where eventually you throw in the towel and realize, you know what, dating isn't for me, apparently. I'm not going to meet somebody. I'm going to throw in a towel and stay single because I think maybe sometimes the standards are too high that you want to find that perfect person who fits every single quality you're looking for, and the fact is it's not going to happen. That person's not out there, and I think compromising can happen in some cases, but not in big issues with the church, whether it be, you know, in favor or against abortion, gay marriage, or anything else like that. Those can really cause hindrances. But there are areas for compromising. It's just not going to happen when it's big issues relating to the church.
Matt, it's such an excellent point. Excellent, excellent point. I'm so glad you brought it up. And Rachel, I'll let you comment on that. A couple of things in his statement there I think that were worth talking about.
Yes, definitely. So one thing that I think I'm going to put in the follow-up piece, I'll just give you a preview now, is I talk about a lot of us have this checklist mentality where we have all these criteria that we think we want and need in another person. And it's a little objectifying, really, versus just meeting good people and seeing how maybe we can grow and change for the better together. Everyone's going to change over the course of their life, but if you're both genuinely pursuing God, hopefully you both change to be more in alignment rather than more in disagreement. But of course, we have to have some standards, so it's about striking that balance.
I agree. And to Matt's other point, you know, I think it's key issues when it comes to life and things along those lines. You have to make sure you're on the right page. Don't hope someone's going to change later. You know,
flirt to convert.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right. Anna in Miami, Florida, thanks for joining us. I only have about a minute or so for you, so go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I think that one observation I've made in less marriages is this past Sunday there was the homily and they talked about sacrifice. I think we live in a society where it's just so much me, you know. I remember a time, and I'm old, I guess, but I remember a time when, you know, oh, they moved. Yeah, well, you know, the husband got a better job here or there, or the wife is doing this and that. There was no question, you know, you were together and you made the sacrifices. And now it's what I want. It's yeah. What's best for me. And I hear a lot of young people say, listen, I don't need to be married. I'll have five dogs and I'm okay, which is fine. I'm not judging them.
Anna, I got to hold you right there, and I appreciate your comments. Rachel, thank you for being here as well. I'm going to post this article. Maggie actually told me she just did. It's called Why Aren't Young Catholics Marrying? And Rachel Hoover points out four of the most important, lesser-known obstacles to marriage that devout Catholics face today. It's well worth the read. I'll be right back. Stay with me.